The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It's a feel-good Friday. Everyone, plenty of first take left. Eli Manning, my guy, a surefire Hall of Famer with two Super Bowl wins, right? Stephen A's got some beef with that notion. I will try to make my case. Plus, all eyes on the rookie Justin Fields this Sunday as he makes his first start versus the Cleveland Browns. Just how much pressure is on Fields to get a win on Sunday? Plus, Aaron Rodgers versus Jimmy G and the crew. Which team needs to come out of that game with a win more? Keep it locked. First take. Hey, Rye.
What's up, Molly? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
What are we hearing? That mystery noise. Who's that, Kirk?
It's got to be in the studio.
Right?
Yeah.
Good day, Lady Liberty. Beautiful shot right there. Welcome back to First Take, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. This Feel Good Friday, more on the Brady versus Stafford mega matchup. Justin Fields has his first ever NFL start on Sunday. Is he under more pressure against the Browns than Stephen A., your quarterback, Big Ben versus the Bengals? And keep it locked as we take a closer look at Aaron Rodgers' showdown with Jimmy G and the crew. Let's keep it rolling. RC is here with us. And look at the biggest game of the week. Brady and the Bucks versus Stafford and the Rams. Both Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford have gotten off to hot starts this season. While Stafford has a better QBR and higher completion percentage, Brady is facing the entire NFL with 9 touchdown passes through his first 2 games. Last season's Jared Goff-led Rams gave Tom and the Bucks one of their 5 total losses. RC, good to have you with us. Tell me this. Is this a must-win for Stafford?
It absolutely is, and I truly hate saying things are must-win in week 3, because especially now, you have 17 weeks, so you can lose this week's and run off the next, and then you're good, but that's not the case for Matthew Stafford. He was talking in the preseason, and he said he came to Los Angeles because he wanted to play in big games. He wanted to be in meaningful moments, and he wanted to make winning plays when they counted. Well, here's the first time that they count. It doesn't have to be a playoff for Matthew Stafford. Last year, the Jared Goff-led Los Angeles Rams beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he and Matthew Stafford is supposed to be the upgrade. They're supposed to be able to win because of Matthew Stafford, not in spite of or win with Matthew Stafford. And so here is his chance. You're facing the greatest player of all time. You're facing an offense that puts up points in large numbers. And so now, Matthew Stafford, can you be that difference? Can you push the football down the field? Can you make those huge plays? Can you beat the GOAT? And this will be his first opportunity to do so.
Well, why don't you stop it? I mean, that's ridiculous. Just like you just said, it's week 3, man. It's week 3, Ryan. You're just being ridiculous. All of a sudden, the Rams, who, by the way, are 2-0, anticipated to be a Super Bowl contender, definitely, obviously, yes, making the playoffs, will likely meet,
yes,
Tampa Bay or Green Bay or somebody in the postseason, okay? Oh,
okay.
Week three of the NFL season in Matthew Stafford's 12th year, all right, his third game with his new team, oh, he has to win. Stop. Don't get me wrong. He can't stink up the joint. Now, I ain't going to say that. I'm not going to say that it wouldn't be a very bad thing. If he shows up against Tom Brady and then he shows up and, and play and looks like Aaron Rodgers looked in week one against, you know, against New Orleans, I'm not saying that. But what if Aaron, what if Matthew Stafford, who's already thrown for 599 yards, what if he has a 300-yard game, throws about three touchdowns, QBR's up there, it's a competitive game, and Tampa Bay walks away, let's say with a 34-31 win or whatever. Oh, my God, stop the presses. Matthew Stafford's going to look bad. Stop, Ryan. That's not true. You know that's not true.
This is so crazy to me, Stephen A. We coming off a week where all of y'all were on TV. Oh, Lamar Jackson has to play so well. This team has to win. They never beat Kansas City. Lamar Jackson has done much more than Matthew Stafford. Lamar Jackson has proved much more than Matthew Stafford, but he's already playing in must-win games in week two. But now Matthew Stafford, who in his life has never won anything. Yes, he's shown us that he's a number one overall talent. He's shown us that he had an amazing arm, but he's not a winner. Matthew Stafford isn't a guy that has led teams to great seasons, been an MVP, and now he gets his chance in his new place where you got rid of your first overall pick, Jared Goff, a guy that's already brought you to a Super Bowl, and you're telling me in his first huge game against Tom Brady, he doesn't have to go out and win? A guy that has never proved in his NFL career that he could be a winner doesn't have to go out and win? Give me a break, Stephen A., and don't act like you're the dude that sits there and lives life with logic and rationale. Because if that was the case, you wouldn't be around here being Brick and hosting Jimmy Kimmel. You would just sit on First Take and sit on Stephen A.'s World with all the 11 million shows you have and just chill. But you know you need to do more, just like Matthew Stafford needs to do more. Matthew Stafford has to win this game, not the Rams. Y'all didn't ask me if the Rams had to win this game, because the team's going to be okay.
Did he get you? I feel like he kind of just got you.
No, he didn't. He dropped his mic.
Dang it.
No, he didn't get his mic.
He literally dropped the mic.
Please, the little bro don't get the big bro. The big bro is the one that gets the little bro. That's how this works. Now, let me be very, very clear, Ryan, since you wanted to quote me.
Stephen, you see, did I not just finish listening to you?
Did I not just finish listening to you? I thought I just finished listening to you. That's what I just did. It's my turn. Ryan Clark, if I remember correctly, specifically said, when you're looking at Lamar Jackson, it's not about that. It's about the fact that you can't throw for 97 yards. What I said is, if you're going to go up against Patrick Mahomes, you got to show you can fling that football, you could be that playmaker extraordinaire, and you can make things happen too. You can't fold like a cheap tent against Patrick Mahomes, because that's likely the individual that's going to be standing in your way for years to come. We pointed out how young Lamar Jackson was. I said, excuse me, Patrick Mahomes ain't some senior citizen. The brother's 26 years old and in the same conference. Somewhere along the way, you have to beat him. You're 0-3 against him at the time going into that game. You have to beat him. You got to show out. You got to make sure that you ain't the reason y'all lose the game. That's what I said about Lamar Jackson. It's on tape. So you can try to misquote me, you know, but it ain't going to work. Okay, it ain't gonna work because the quotes are there. All right, now getting back to Stafford, what I'm saying is he has to play well. I get that part, but it's not a must win. Okay, if he plays well, but somehow, some way his defense don't show up and Tom Brady gets the better of them, it's okay as long as he balls.
So what you're saying is it's okay for Matthew Stafford to continue the trajectory that his career has always been. We know Matthew Stafford is good, but they don't win. So that's okay to you now?
You can
allow Matthew Stafford when you bring him over to a team like the Los Angeles Rams?
I think this is a different standard. The Detroit Lions, they got to the playoffs three times in like 12 years. They haven't won a playoff game since 1991, I think, or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is you've got that backdrop in this particular situation. It's about going up against the GOAT. It ain't about just going up. It's not just a big game. It's going up against the reigning defending Super Bowl champions, led by a 44-year-old dude who's got 7 Super Bowl titles and is considered the greatest of all time. There's a difference. So
Stephen,
I don't think that the urgency to win this game is on him. It's an urgency for him to perform well.
Was the acquisition of Matthew Stafford not to take this team to a different level that they didn't believe Jared Goff could take them?
Yes.
Was that not
correct.
Why they went out and got Matthew
that
Stafford?
That is correct.
Well,
that
this is his first opportunity to prove it. This is pressure on Sean McVay to say, you know what? Los Angeles Rams fan, less needs. This is the reason we needed Matthew Stafford, because when we play people like Tom Brady, I want to have a guy I could believe in. I want to have a guy who I think that is as good or better when he needs to be in big moments. This is Matthew Stafford's first big moments. If Matthew Stafford was a rookie, if Matthew Stafford was a third-year guy, a fourth-year guy, a guy who is just coming into his own, then I say, you know what? Nah, it doesn't really matter. He just has to go out and play well. He just has to show that he can compete. No, Matthew Stafford has to make plays to win this game. I do not care if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the football last. If they got the football last, you better have enough points to where they cannot catch up. Matthew Stafford has to win this game. You know it. I know it. I know you're trying to be consistent, but you've been inconsistent in life before, and you need to be now so you can be right.
I don't know. Well, first of all, I'm usually right, so it's no big deal. That's number one.
Number two, in
Stephen A's world and First Take. It don't matter. And listen, I don't even have to worry about it. Like I said, it's his first opportunity, but it won't be his last this season. And that's the key point to be made. And by the way, I don't have to make my point further. I'll just leave it to my man DC, Daniel Cormier, to make it for me when he's beating you up on y'all podcast together. I'll just let him handle it for me, because he's going to side with me. Okay?
That's what it is. Rolling with nothing but the Saints.
That's right.
I felt like RC got you. I mean, what?
You always say that,
no,
Molly.
No, but with the Lamar Jackson, that, it's true.
Molly,
the whole hard on Lamar Jackson. We didn't
Molly
do it to Matthew Stafford.
With me. Molly hasn't agreed with me since I called her out about UConn. That's it. That's all. That's all it is. She stood up ready to fight because she went, I'm going to see UConn and Purdue. And I said, why? Why would you do that to yourself? And she hasn't recovered since. That's all it's about. It's okay.
Let's not go there now. Right. We don't have time to go there. Mm-hmm.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, I like that music. Time now for Molly's Deal, presented by DraftKings. Your girl is here for you. My goal is to get you wins and get you paid and see you smiling. Let's get it. Stephen A., you're up first. Who will have more receiving yards, Julio Jones or A.J. Brown, when they face the Colts?
I think it's going to be Julio Jones. I think he's got to get going, and he has to remind people why he's one of the best receivers in football, period. He's got to show up, and I think this is the week he's going to do it.
Okay, Cooper Kupp had 163 yards against the Colts. Acho, will the Broncos defense have 5 or more sacks when the rookie Zach Wilson and the Jets come to Mile High?
Yes, they absolutely will. They will have more than 5 sacks. Here's why. Week 1, the Jets gave up 6 sacks. Week 2, they gave up 4 sacks. Obviously, Bradley Chubb is injured, but it doesn't matter. Von Miller is rushing like a man with his head on fire. He wants to be back on that field, and the Denver Broncos will get that 5 sacks for you.
Stephen A., who will have more passing yards, Tom Brady or Matthew Stafford? This is tough.
I think it's going to be Matthew Stafford this particular game. They're in L.A. on their home turf. Their running game is suspect right now because of injuries. As a result, he's going to be firing the ball a bit more than Tom Brady needs to, and I think that's the reason he'll have more passing yards.
All right, Acho, Aaron Rodgers, redemption. 3 or more touchdown passes in San Francisco. He's lost 4 or 5 in California.
I'd love to say no, but I got to say yes, because he got 3 or more touchdowns on me 4 different times in his career. So I've seen it happen firsthand. Aaron Rodgers will have more than 3 touchdowns. Yes, the history does not say so against the San Francisco 49ers, but Aaron Rodgers is trying to rewrite history.
All right, Stephen A., who's going to have more receiving yards? Oh, you're going to like this one. CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper when they host Philly Monday Night Football?
Listen, CeeDee Lamb is spectacular, and I know this, but I'm going to go with Amari Cooper. And the reason why is because in a heated NFC East battle, I think route running precision wins over ability, per se. Mm-hmm. And I look at Amari Cooper as being that guy, a reliable guy that you can trust. Run his routes properly, won't need to rely on his athletic prowess in order to pull things off. And against the Philadelphia Eagles, a heated NFC East battle, I think that's what rules the day. Amari Cooper will have a better receiving day than CeeDee Lamb.
Okay, for the best bet, I'm going to call an audible. So originally, I was going to say the safe bet is the Broncos.
Okay.
Because no Bradley Chubb, but I think you're right, they could get it done. They had 5 sacks on the Jets last year, so that was a good point. I'm actually going to go with Stephen A. and that's Stafford because their leading running back, Darrell Henderson's hurt, plus no Antonio Brown. Stafford, man on a mission, trying to get the win against Tom Brady.
First of all, I don't care that you agree with me because guess what? You have not been nice to me. You understand? You have been going up against me all the time and then you wait until Molly's deal. All of a sudden, you want to act like you're on my side. It's a setup for when you get back to the desk and you're going to sit up there with Acho and RC in his mansion in Louisiana and you're going to sit up there and say, Stephen A. was wrong. Y'all were right. It's all a setup, Molly, and I'm not buying it.
But she had your back in the break when I was talking about your tie. So, I mean, what happened then?
She didn't have my back.
Okay, first of all, this is Molly's deal, and I'm here to get you paid. And I want America to know this because you brought up a good point. Because maybe on the air, I'm all over you, but behind the scenes, I do have your back. And that is fact.
Hold on. I'm not questioning that. Behind the scenes, you definitely have my back. But on the air, with millions watching, okay, that's when you throw me under the bus. I'm so touched. I'm so touched. Behind the scenes, when nobody's watching, you got my back. But in front of millions, no, I don't have your back. I'm so touched.
Keep your friends close. Keep your enemies closer. Is that what I see here?
That's what I'm saying.
All right, real quick, we got to go to break. Would you say Stafford's a good bet? Would you go Stafford on that one?
I would go Stafford. I would go Stafford on that. Yeah, he's a man on a mission. That offense is explosive now. And with Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, that connection has been beautiful. You saw it in week one against the Bears.
Okay, good stuff. Bears. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take pod. Have a fabulous day. Sam Acho is still here with us and Ryan Clark. Guys, Big Ben doing everything he can to play Sunday. Of course, after injuring his pectoral muscle in a bad lopsided loss to the Raiders, Justin Fields will get his highly anticipated first NFL start. You know the Sam Acho living in Chicago. After an injury knocked out Andy Dalton, how happy they must be down there in Chicago. Not the injury, about Fields, of course, getting the nod. Stephen A., I'm going to start with you. Who do you think is under more pressure? Do you think it's Ben or Justin Fields?
Believe it or not, I think it's Ben because Justin Fields is a rookie. And we hope a lot of things about it, but expectations, no. But Big Ben Roethlisberger, let's call it what it is. He's looked relatively anemic, to say the least. He's got, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, completing 62% of his passes. Looks like a statue out there. Seems completely immobile. And right now, the Steelers season, I'm not going to say it's on the line because it's week 3, and we're talking about Mike Tomlin coach team here that has never, ever finished under 500 in his coaching career. But when we consider the elevation of the Baltimore Ravens combined with the Cleveland Browns in the AFC, Cincinnati is nothing to sneeze at this particular moment in time. They lost last week, but Joe Burrow has skills. Jamar Chase has skills. They've got some weapons there. The bottom line is, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, particularly with T.J. Watt, I don't know what the hell is. You and Ryan, Sam. I mean, what can y'all tell me what the hell is going on with a football team that got 4 dudes with groin injuries? I mean, what the hell are they doing? What the hell are they doing? We got T.J. Watt. We got T.J. Watt. We got Alex Highsmith. Okay. We got Joe Hayden, and I forgot who the fourth one is. All got groin injuries. What the hell's going on up there in Pittsburgh? All 4 of y'all? I mean, now they got a plethora of injuries. But all four different dudes with the same
interest. I distance myself from these comments. I just want America to know that.
I damn near want to distance myself from it.
My mind doesn't go there, okay? So please don't take it there.
All I'm trying to say is that
How many have groin injuries?
Listen, you gave me the sheet yesterday, and I looked at the injuries, and I'm like, one, two, three, four different dudes with the same injury? And it's all groin injuries? I mean, I'm just saying. I don't know what the hell's going on up there.
Everybody needs to rest.
I don't know what's going on there.
Everybody just needs to rest.
I got it. But all I'm saying is, at the end of the day, when you consider all of that, Big Ben Roethlisberger, and your offensive line is so suspect, Big Ben Roethlisberger, your only hope is for him to do something, and that's pressure.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sam. I feel like
you must have played for the Steelers because no matter when they come up, you just have to talk about them. And maybe you just enjoy talking about the Steelers, but you know good and dang well it's more pressure on Justin Fields. The headline of one of the local papers in Chicago was Justin Fields gets his chance, dot, 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 and not much else. Because for all offseason, for all of the preseason, everyone has been calling for Justin Fields to play. The fans in the stands have even been chanting his name while Andy Dalton was on the field. And then he gets to play, and so nobody realizes that Allen Robinson drops a touchdown, a guy who never drops a football, who actually made Blake Bortles and Mitchell Trubisky look good at times, drops a touchdown. That's a 40-yard touchdown. Now he's 7 for 13. A ball hits off him. Like, they don't realize those things because people are looking at Justin Fields and judging him by these things. They believe the Chicago Bears still have a championship defense. They do not. They believe that the Chicago Bears has a coach that if he has the right player at the position can actually coach. They do not. So Justin Fields is not only going to be judged for what he does, but for what the Chicago Bears look like and how they finish against the Cleveland Browns. Big Ben ain't under no pressure. He a Hall of Famer, baby. He ain't got nothing to trip about up there. And everybody know that me, you, Molly, and Sam Acho are blocking for him. He is safe. Justin Fields is not.
Well, Justin Fields may not be safe, and he does have more pressure, but the reason why is a lot different than what you're saying, Ryan. The reason Justin Fields has more pressure isn't just because the fans have been cheering for him. It's because the expectations are through the roof for him. Chicago has never had a franchise quarterback. Go down the list. Jay Cutler, you couldn't say he was that guy. Mitch Trubisky, you couldn't say he's that guy. Go down whatever list you want to go to. Chicago hasn't had it, and now Chicago, everyone in Chicago believes that Justin Fields is that guy. Even me, I'm here in New York. I'll be walking down the street. People know me because I played with the Bears. They're saying, Sam, what's going to happen with Justin Fields? Sam, I hear you've been saying that he should sit, but come on, we need him. We need him. We need him. That's pressure. Big Ben is 39 years old. He's won his rings. He's done his thing. If he doesn't play well for the rest of this season, he could retire and maybe go in the Hall of Fame. Justin Fields hasn't proven anything yet, and he has a lot to prove and a lot on his shoulders. That defense, contrary to your point, Ryan Clark, is a championship defense. We saw them show it last week with Roquan Smith. Roquan Smith essentially won the game for his team last week when Andy Dalton went down and Justin Fields essentially sputtered through the second half of that game. And so, yes, of course, Justin Fields absolutely has more pressure. It's because he's younger, number one. It's because, number two, the entire city and the nation is looking at this guy saying, you are our future, and no one is going to wait for him to be average. He has to be excellent. He has to be excellent, like, now.
I would chime in, but why are you covering your nose like that?
Because this boy talking about sputtered, he sputtered? Like, I just feel like, man, I feel like sometimes we get to these games and we listen to each other so much and we hear some people say some other things and we not really paying attention to what's going on. Right? Because we're talking about a zero blitz with a fallout where Kurt Warner, who I believe was an MVP, also is a Hall of Famer, throws a 100-yard interception to James Harrison on the same thing. That happens. That's a crosser. That's something you have to learn. I just told you about the two drops, but let's talk about the 3rd and 9 play where he essentially escapes a linebacker in the backfield, slides in bounds, using his head, showing that he's not going to go out of bounds to stop the clock to win the game. I think all the time we start to look at these different things that these young quarterbacks do and the pressure that they're under, and we don't truly watch the film and hone in on how the game finished. That team is not a championship defense. If you watch the first week against the Los Angeles Rams, it was bombs over everywhere. And so, no, we can't watch a game against Cincinnati Bengals where they struggle and say that that's the case of this game. Pressure is on Justin Fields because even his own quarterback, his own coach, doesn't want to start him.
All right, see, I know that, this is third time you try to employ that strategy where you talk so much we don't get a chance to come back at you. I see what you're doing. It's not going to work, okay? Number two.
Monday you told me you was going to let me talk because I knew more.
I did let you.
So now you're changing up?
I'm not changing up. I'm simply saying, give me an opportunity to retort. That's all I'm saying. Now, Ryan Clark, it's interesting because just like you swear we must not be watching the game, guess what? You, as a member of the media now, I just want to point that out because you are a member of the media right now. Okay, just want to point that out. You evidently don't pay enough attention to the media because the Justin Fields ... Now, why would that be, Ryan Clark? Allow me to retort. 1985, we know who the quarterback was, right? It was Jim McMahon. After him, Mike Tomczak. After that, Jim McMahon comes back. After him, Jim Harbaugh. After him, Steve Walsh. After him, Eric Kramer. Dave Craig. Eric Kramer again. Shane Matthews. Terrible. Cade McNown. Jim Miller. Terrible. Cordell Stewart for a little bit. Chris Chandler for a little bit. Rex Grossman. Remember him? Terrible. Kyle Orton. Remember him? Yep. Jay Cutler.
Rexman went to the Super Bowl.
Matt Barkley. All right. Then Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah. Ryan Clark. Mm-hmm. That would happen to be the reason why it's Justin Fields. In the Chicago Tribune or the Chicago Sun-Times or anywhere else because they haven't had a quarterback. That's why. So, oh, my God.
That's why he's under more pressure than Stephen A.
You're making my point. What do you mean I'm making your point?
Okay, so you're making my point now. You're making my point now because now you are saying that the pressure is on Justin Fields.
No.
And that's okay. That means I won.
I was talking to your point about the newspapers. That's why they elevated him like that because they're starving for something. I mean, listen, Ryan Clark, a cracker don't mean a damn thing to us, right? But damn it, if we starving and you get a piece of cracker, that's a good cracker.
Stephen A., you go to the living room, Ryan. You go to the bedroom. Everyone needs a little space. Let's just take some time apart, marinate, and then we can have a nice dinner together later.
Is that what we're
doing? Sometimes we have to do that.
But even to that point, because, RC, you make a solid point. Stephen A. almost backed up your point, which backed up my point. But the whole point is the media, the people, the fans, the team, the coaches – put pressure on this quarterback, on one quarterback, on Justin Fields. And so when he doesn't go out and shine like you think he should, all of a sudden people say stuff like, man, he didn't look great. That's zero pressure. Maybe you make a different decision. And yes, of course, I saw the third nine when he used his legs and escaped the sack and got a first down and slid right past the first down. That's what you expect. But you expect that every time because he is the future. You heard the list of names, the litany of names that people in
Chicago.
Nobody
does that every time.
People in Chicago, bro, people in Chicago, like they get sad. Like in my heart and soul, I live in Chicago. I was getting sad and frustrated as I heard the names of those quarterbacks and Stephen A. I'm so serious. You think I'm playing? Like Chicago is different. As I heard I'm like, dang, ooh. And then there's Justin Fields. And then he got his opportunity. And yes, he threw an interception. It wasn't great. Yes, okay, zero pressure, cool. But then you see a little bit of third and nine. You see the escapability. You see what he did in the preseason. You see what he did at Ohio State. You say, man, I know there's something. When, Justin Fields, will you give me that something? And that, my friend, is called pressure.
I didn't say he wasn't under pressure. I think he's under a lot of pressure. Okay. I'm not really sure why it's been directed at me.
Okay, this is over. This conversation's over. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. That bad man headed to the bay. Rodgers righted the ship after that poor week one performance, but now we'll take on an impressive Niners team that's trying to stay atop the standings in a very, very, very competitive NFC West. RC, who needs this win more? RC, you there?
Is that me? I was listening to the music. My bad. Yeah. I was
There's
vibing.
Only one RC
I got
here.
I got y'all. I didn't hear it, man. The music was vibing. It's the Green Bay Packers, Stephen A. And the reason that is to me is they come into this year with more pressure. Aaron Rodgers comes into this year with more pressure. You know what type of offseason that they have. And now you come in, you give Aaron Rodgers a contract that may give him an out next year. You play terrible against the New Orleans Saints week one. And quite honestly, you don't even play well against the Detroit Lions starting out on Monday night. You have a second half where Jared Goff becomes Jared Goff and Aaron Rodgers becomes Aaron Rodgers and you win the game. But think about some of the latest trips to San Francisco that the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers have taken. They've been stumped out. This defense has stymied Aaron Rodgers. And also, defensively, the Green Bay Packers don't have Za'Darius Smith. They don't stop the run well, and they're still looking for a premier starting corner opposite Jaire Alexander. I think that this game is totally putting the pressure on the Green Bay Packers. The San Francisco 49ers are already 2-0. The San Francisco 49ers know they'll be moving to their young quarterback, Trey Lance, at some point. But for the Green Bay Packers, this is the year, this is the chance, and a loss to the San Francisco 49ers after really not proving anything through the first 2 weeks would really, really put a dampening on this locker room and make us start to question Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
You're wrong. And here's why I think you're wrong, Ryan Clark, because you're not taking into consideration the division that the Green Bay Packers are playing in. The fact of the matter is, win, lose, or draw, they're in the NFC North. I mean, who do they have to worry about exactly? Do they have to worry about Detroit, Minnesota, Mr. Kirk Cousins that'll get his numbers but never wins when it matters? You got to worry about the Chicago Bears. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be just fine. When we look at the San Francisco 49ers, yeah, you 2-0, but you were up 41-17 and had to skate by the skin of your teeth against Detroit, who came back and pulled it to within 41-33 before the clock ran out. You go against Philadelphia last week, a young quarterback in Jalen Hurts who still has some things to prove, and you were able to neutralize them offensively and hold them to 11 points, okay? So if you're the San Francisco 49ers, there's still some things to prove, whether Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be in there or it's going to be Trey Lance eventually. The reality of the situation is you're in the NFC West. We look at the Los Angeles Rams. They're a Super Bowl contender. Big game coming up against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We look at the Seattle Seahawks. We see Russell Wilson with Metcalf and Lockett and the crew. And we know that they're going to have something to say about things. We're looking at the Arizona Cardinals. We said they on the come up. Kyler Murray's that dude. They got D-Hop, all right? They got AJ Green, I'm sorry. All right, you see what they got on the defensive side of the ball as well with Chandler Jones wreaking havoc against everybody. And everybody's finally saying Arizona's a team to be reckoned with. If you are the San Francisco 49ers, every game matters to you because that entire division is up for grabs, whereas Green Bay is playing with house money because they're in the NFC North. You're wrong, RC. You're wrong.
Yeah, and I'm going to double down on that, RC, because here's the thing. Like, the division is the only thing that matters. Who needs this win more? Absolutely, San Francisco needs it more because Arizona very well might be the best team in that division. At least they're playing like it. Kyler Murray is playing like a video game on the defense. Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt, Zaven Collins, they're all playing at a dominant defensive level. And so when I think about the division, I say, okay, Seattle, they're 1-1, but they could be 2-0. You know what Russell Wilson is. So there's one. L.A. Rams, which we haven't talked about, like they might be, like all these teams could be the best team in the division. That's the issue. So if you start losing games early, especially to a team like the Packers, which historically you have beaten over and over and over again, at least the Aaron Rodgers-led Packers, you have beaten over and over and over again, and then you go and lose this game at this time, all of a sudden, I'm going to start asking some questions. Okay, I already had questions with Green Bay, but now I'm saying, okay, who is San Francisco? I thought they were strong. I thought they were the best in the division. But, man, L.A., man, Arizona, man, Seattle, San Fran, I need you to step up. And so, for me, when it matters who needs this win right now the most, it has to be the San Francisco 49ers.
Sam Acho.
Yes, sir.
You thought coming into 2021, the San Francisco 49ers were the best team in the NFC West?
Arguably.
Is that what you thought?
No, but check me out. Last year, you sleep, RC, because last year, you know, all the guys on their team that were injured in 2020. But back in 2019, where were they in 2019? in the Super Bowl, bro. So now everybody's back healthy. Now you got Trey Lance as another weapon. So of course they are the team to beat. How couldn't they be the team to beat? L.A. Rams, there are question marks. Okay, Matthew Stafford experiment. What will happen? Yes, sir, go ahead.
I got to ride with R.C. there. I don't agree with you there.
There's an argument that could be made that they could be the best team in that division. Go ahead. Please.
There's no argument that could be made like that. And years don't roll over like cell phone minutes used to. This team is not the best in the division. And last I checked, Stephen A. and Sam Acho, life was about winning the Super Bowl. We know the San Francisco 49ers ain't got no chance to win no Super Bowl. And it don't matter if you could just win the NFC North if you're Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, what have we always talked about with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers during his tenure? They only have one Super Bowl. There is much more pressure. It is much more of a must-win game for the Green Bay Packers than it is for the San Francisco 49ers. We know that they're going to be sitting at home with us watching the Super Bowl.
Here's why you're wrong real quick. The Packers could lose the next two games, be 1-3, and still win their division by two games.
Bingo.
That can't happen in the NFC West, and you know it. Let's move on, Molly.
They ain't going to win it no way.
Okay. Packers going to win the division.
Okay. After the Chiefs fumbled away a win in Baltimore last weekend and the Chargers lost a heartbreaker to the Cowboys, the longtime rivals find themselves in the most unexpected of circumstances this week. The loser of their matchup will find itself at 1-2 and in the division cellar. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have not lost back-to-back games since October of 2019. RC, can the Chargers pull off the upset? Chiefs are favored by 6.5.
Yeah, the Chargers can, for sure. The Chargers are a team that is ascending, right? The Chargers have a quarterback who we believe, or let me say, at least I believe, will be in the elite tier of quarterbacks, if not now, then very soon, maybe by the end of the season. And so, obviously, this is going to be the team that the Kansas City Chiefs has to face going forward. What they have also defensively is they have a star. I believe Derwin James can end up possibly being the Aaron Donald of safeties, a guy that can move around, a guy that can dominate, a guy that we start talking about amongst the best players in football, not just amongst the best positional players. But just because they can, don't mean that they will. When you look at what this team has been historically, they find ways to lose games. And we thought they had gotten over that versus the Washington football team, but you come back against Dallas and you find a way to lose again. So now, playing Kansas City, coming off of a loss, I feel that Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and that team understands that this is a huge game for them, and they'll play this like the Super Bowl, which we know they understand.
Chargers ain't got no chance to win this game. They ain't losing, because Kansas City ain't losing two straight. Ain't happening. You can cancel that dream.
You think it's going to be a romp?
It ain't going down. No, I'm not going to say it's going to be a romp.
Because you
gonna
like
go that far.
Word. Your tie just reminded me.
I'm just telling you right now, ain't no way they going to Kansas City after a Kansas City loss to the Baltimore Ravens, and they going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and those boys, okay? Let's throw Prince and McCole Hardman in there, too. You do that if you want to. Let's throw Clyde Edwards-Helaire there. LSU dude last time. I do believe he's upset because he fumbled the ball. Your man fumbled the ball with a minute and a half left. I think he's got some make.
Finish your story.
He's got some stuff to make up for, all right? Now, I understand that their defense is a little bit suspect, even though Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, being back there, elevates it to some degree. But you in Kansas City? You on the road again. You're accustomed to being in Southern California. You at SoFi. Beautiful arena, by the way. I can't wait to go see it in person. You understand what I'm saying? Beautiful stuff like that. Southern California, sunshine, warm weather, all of that. Now you got to go to Kansas City.
Get that barbecue.
Fresh off a loss that they suffered last week to Lamar Jackson and those boys. Please, ain't no chance in hell. Chargers going down.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. The Chargers can pull off an upset, but they won't. They won't this time, but the reason is different. It takes time. RC, you make a great point. The LA Chargers historically have found ways to lose games.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden they have a coach in Brandon Staley who knows how to win. Once again, he knows how to take people who are okay and make them great. Go to the LA Rams last year, defensive coordinator. They were okay. They were about 12 or so, and they went to number one. Go back to his time in Chicago. Once again, okay defense in 2018. He was outside linebacker coach, coached me. All of a sudden, number one defense. And so that's who Brandon Staley is. He knows how to change culture, but it doesn't happen overnight. We saw it last week, a game that the LA Chargers should have won. They didn't. This week, I think they will get their first test of what it looks like to try and win this division. I don't think they will do it this week, but best believe, come back next time around when this LA Chargers team goes and plays Kansas City, I think they will pull off the upset then because they will understand what it means and what it takes to go and change culture and be a championship-level team.
Okay.
Well, they can change all the culture they want. They're going to lose this weekend.
All right. Stephen A., this one's for you, and I don't even need the lead. Here's what I need you to know.
Yeah.
So Eli Manning's jersey is going to be retired.
Yes.
The Giants are going to get the first win of the year against the Falcons.
Go ahead.
And oh. I just want to read some stats to you, okay?
Yeah.
Eli Manning, one of 12 starting quarterbacks to win multiple Super Bowl titles, one of 6 starting quarterbacks to win multiple Super Bowls without a loss, one of 5 players to win multiple Super Bowl MVPs. His streak of 210 consecutive starts is the third longest streak ever by a quarterback, and he ranks top 10 in NFL history in pass yards, pass TDs, completions, and attempts. So obviously, he is a surefire Hall of Famer.
No, he's not.
You can hold on to this list.
Thank you. I love Eli. I'm very, very happy that he's getting his jersey retired. Nothing but respect for him. He's a Manning who's a 2-time Super Bowl champion, so he'll probably get in. But if you're asking me based on his resume, I'm looking at a guy that completed 60% of his passes for his career, that has a 117-117 record overall, that missed the playoffs numerous times, 6 times at the very least. He had a losing record. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I love Eli Manning, class personified, and he warrants consideration. He's a 2-time Super Bowl champion, and I think that he'll probably get in. But when I look at Eli Manning, based on his resume, I don't see a Hall of Famer.
Oh, he also knocked off the Patriots in those Super Bowls, just in case you didn't know.
I understand. I don't see a Super Bowl. I don't see a Hall of Famer.
All right. No. RC, where are you on this?
You know, I usually disagree with Stephen A., but right now he is dead on. He is as right as he has ever been.
God.
I believe Eli Manning will be a Hall of Famer. I believe he will get the votes. I believe at some point he will get to have that gold jacket, and God bless him. I don't look at Eli Manning as a surefire Hall of Famer. I don't think you walk into a room of football players who played against Eli and go, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? And you have a consensus. Now, I'm not a Hall of Famer, so I know people are going to be like, oh, you're just hating and all that. To me, Eli's resume, Eli's actual play, who Eli was as a quarterback, is not a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's a player that had 2 Hall of Fame Super Bowl runs, and that's that.
Yeah, but the question is he a Hall of Famer? Will he be in the Hall of Fame? And the answer, like both of you all said, and I will agree, is yes. He will be in the Hall of Fame. Part of that is honestly because of that last name. That Manning last name plays a piece. And also the 2 Super Bowl rings have to play a piece as well, more than his brother, who's definitely a Hall of Famer. And so statistically, you might argue you may or may not be, but it comes to that last name, it comes to those rings on those fingers, Eli has proven that he will be in the Hall of Fame.
By the way, in the years that Eli Manning was a quarterback,
you're all
Molly,
annoying me right
in
now.
In the years that Eli Manning was a quarterback, they missed the playoffs 9 times. In the last year, when he only coached 4 games, he only played 4 games, they missed the playoffs that year too. So that's 10 times.
Why don't you look at the list?
That's 10
right?
times in his
Stop
career.
Stop using the
he's
numbers
the
against
playoffs.
Him.
I'm not saying his jersey don't deserve to be retired. I'm not saying he doesn't warrant consideration. But
I was having fun on the show. Like, I actually had emailed the producers, like, good
First,
show,
I love
Friday.
Eli.
Everything was smooth.
Love
Everything
Eli.
Was cool.
He'll get in, though.
And now it's all over.
I
don't really know what to say to you.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.